Are there such things as flying saucers? Is the Earth being watched or landed on even by visitors from outer space? This film is said to have been shot in Montana in 1950. Since 1947, many thousands of people all over the world have reported seeing flying saucers. This film is said to have been taken in Utah in 1952 by an American serviceman photographer. Is it trick photography or flying saucers? Many people believe in flying saucers. They call them unidentified flying objects, UFOs. They call themselves ufologists. In recent months, British ufologists have been interested in a little town in Wiltshire, Warminster, where strange sights and sounds at night have been reported. Some reports describe a fiery, cigar-shaped object hovering in the sky. But most Warminster folk have seen nothing out of the ordinary and strongly resent newspaper stories about a town living in terror. The army is much in evidence in these parts, and skeptics say that if odd things are being seen, they're most likely rockets, flares, balloons, or aircraft, which the army's not talking about for security reasons. Whatever the explanation, there was enough interest to pack a public meeting in the town hall last Friday night. More than 300 people turned up to hear the local council chairman, Mr. Emlyn Reed, open the meeting, flanked by visiting ufologists.
Information to clarify the aims of this meeting. The most disturbing factor is that many of our townspeople have been frightened by unusual sounds. If tonight we can contribute something constructive to the explanation of these phenomena, it might be able to assure these people who have nothing to be alarmed about.
Then the meeting was thrown open to the people of Warminster.
But the noise did occur, and I confirm the lady who was soon scared to disclose her name, that she did hear it, and so did I. It woke me up.
How many people here tonight are afraid of the baby? How many of you? I think the papers have got it all wrong.
When the call went out for people who'd seen or heard the thing, the response was disappointing.
That looks like four. Yes.
At 3:45 in the morning, I was wakened by this dreadful droning sound. And I went to the bedroom window, and I saw this immense object. It was quite low in the sky, and I live up Beacon View that way, and it seemed to be travelling very slowly, and I was petrified. I just couldn't move. I was shaking like a leaf. I just couldn't move, and it was going on for half an hour.
One night back in the summer, it could have been the 11th of August. I heard a sound that was really horrible. What I would have said was a communal garden helicopter sitting only a few feet up above the houses in the town.
The meeting left Warminster's problem unresolved, though there was talk of setting up an observation post. Flying saucers have fascinated people for nearly 20 years now, and in the past months, reports of sightings have flooded in faster than ever before. These pictures are said to have been taken by an Italian mountaineer on the Cerrejón Glacier in the summer of 1952. British ufologists are still wondering whether they're genuine or not. But they say that the visitors from space are shaped like men, mostly about a yard high. Mr. Francis Chichester, the famous yachtsman and pioneer aviator, works at his map-making office. In 1931, he made the first solo flight from New Zealand to Australia. 34 years later, he remembers something he saw during the flight.
It is a perfect shape. It was shaped as sort of like a pearl with a tail. you know, just a blimp, pure blimp, shape. And I watched this thing, and suddenly it disappeared. And I thought, well, am I seeing things? I'd had a very grueling flight. I'd been waiting for, I had engine trouble, and I'd been waiting for hours, expecting to go into the sea, you know. However, suddenly this thing reappeared. It came towards me. Well, I'm not going to let it go this time, and I kept my look fixed on it, and it was approaching fairly fast, and then suddenly, gradually rather, it began to thin out, and it vanished in front of me, and before my eyes, it became a sort of ghost. I could see the water, the waves of the sea through it for one instant, and then it went and vanished.
Since 1947, and the first big flying saucer flap, thousands of sightings have been reported. Last year, an American investigation group presented a breakdown of the evidence to members of Congress. It's packed with reports from all over the world. The stories of what an American Air Force general described as credible observers of relatively incredible things. Charles Bowen, editor of the Flying Saucer Review, a bi-monthly magazine, receives reports from many countries. He believes he's seen a flying saucer himself. He believes that they're landing here on Earth. And we asked him where they came from.
I am inclined to believe possibly from beyond our own solar system, from other solar systems, other sun systems in the galaxy. You don't think it's possible that they could come from another planet within our solar system? It is possible, but things seem to prove a point otherwise.
This means they've come a very long way.
Indeed.
You think this is still quite possible? This is several light years, isn't it, from the nearest?
Well, we must get round to the way of thinking in terms of non-man-made machines, something more sophisticated than we have ever produced.
These are very advanced people.
They could be.
Why do you think they come here?
Well, I wish we knew the answer to that one. That's the $64,000 question.
Do you think they're friendly?
So far, all the evidence points to the fact that they are not unfriendly, but then there are some small things that they do which would seem to point to the fact that possibly their intentions are not, how shall we say, on our side.
What are these things?
Well, there have been abductions or kidnappings that have been reported.
Mr. Gordon Crichton, once a Foreign Office official, has been interested since 1941 when he saw an unidentified flying object in China.
I think that there is more than one type visiting us. I think there are at least five. I'm talking types of beings, not types of craft. There are about 30 types of craft. I think a minimum of five types of beings are coming, or possibly eight. And I think that some of them may be friendly and some may not be.
South America seems to be the most active area for flying saucers. Ufologists believe spacemen may even have bases there in the Mato Grosso and the Andes, and even underwater along the Atlantic coast of Patagonia. In France, an investigator discovered that reported sightings for one September night in 1963 fell in an absolutely straight line from Bayonne to Vichy. Ufologists have since used that method to work out two lines of orbit, which they reckon link the areas of maximum flying saucer activity. If flying saucers come from outside our solar system, they come a very long way. If man could get to the moon in 2.5 hours, the journey to the sun at the same speed would take him more than 5 weeks. The journey to the next nearest star, Proxima Centauri, would take 30,000 years. Even at the speed of light, the trip to our solar system's nearest neighbor would take 4 years, 4 months.
Many thousand light years away from here, or many million light years away from here, even if you move with the speed of light, you've got to be many million years old to get here.
So that's impossible. Unless some men or so, or some creatures are so technically in advance of us somewhere that they can travel even faster than this.
No, you can't travel faster than the speed of light, Mr. Einstein says you can't. Now, they must be so clever that they can live a million years.
If the distances are unconquerable, if there are no such things as flying saucers, then either a lot of people have been suffering from hallucinations, or the air forces of the world have craft which are much more advanced in speed and maneuverability than they're prepared to say. If there are flying saucers, where do they come from and what are they up to? The most disturbing theory of all is that the men in the flying saucers are our own descendants, perhaps centuries in the future, who found a way of breaking through the time barrier to visit their own past, which is our present.